What is up, everybody? Had a little technical glitch there. That was weird. Mixer was picking up off of a YouTube commercial. Strange. Anyway, we are we're live here on the YouTubes, simulcast over on gunchannels.com. Let me get the camera on real quick. There we go. And let me grab that Gun Channels link for everybody on the YouTube side. Gun Channel's actually going through a little bit of a remodel, and I don't know if that link will work. Hopefully it will. If not, it's easy enough. You see the link, you can type that in. Simple as that, gunchannels.com. But yeah, check that out. I noticed that I haven't been able to post links or really anything on the main feed, and it show up. It does this weird little thing to where it like hides everything. And when I posted the thing for today, it showed to work. So apparently all the upgrades that G's been doing, it's been fixing some of the little quirky issues going on. Speaking of that Gun Channel side, we got quite a few over there. Looks like Black G's over that way. Scott, Pants, Ralph, No Dak, Cycle Camp. So there we go. So hopefully everybody's doing good. Not sure what Kalashnikov's talking about out there. He says it's probably YouTube's new guidelines. Not really anything new with those guidelines, Kalashnikov. Interesting talking about that. Watched an interesting interview today with Casey Neistat, one of the larger creators on YouTube, talking with, and I don't recall the guy's name, but it's like director of operations or something like that with YouTube. He's underneath the Susan Wojcicki woman, whatever her name is. You know, I can't ever pronounce her name. So, yeah. So yeah, this is MOA Monday. It's all you guys. So it's all y'all's topics. It's all y'all's Q&A. Pretty much whatever what you guys want to talk about. And if you don't have anything to talk about, or if the chat's not going in that direction, then we'll I don't know. We'll map and we'll talk about something, I'm sure. One of the things I wanted to mention is we did the launch air pot for the patrons today. That was pretty cool. They picked the Arsenal SEG 12 gauge. So had a little bit of fun, did a little private live stream, chatted for a little bit. Shot off a few rounds with that and drew for a couple of 224 Valkyrie beanies. And congratulations to Grim and Nate, who won those. So I got to get those off in the mail to those guys here pretty soon. Let's see. But yeah, back to the back to that Casey Neistat, since not really anything's coming in. Back to that Casey Neistat's interview over there. It was kind of interesting. I mean, he, and of course, Casey is not the type of guy that really does hardball interviews or anything like that. That's just not his niche on the platform. So, you know, he did tweet out and has expressed that some of the higher ups at YouTube need to come on with some of the larger channels, one of them being Philip DeFranco. I think Philly D would be a pretty good interview. I don't think he would softball them too much, and we may get some more information. But by all accounts, I mean, this guy that was, like I said, whatever, director of operations or whatever he was, is immigrant from Czech Republic. Got a new book out, or not not super new, I don't think, but he had a book out talking about how he, you know, his views on social media and that sort of stuff, being that he grew up behind that Iron Curtain and stuff. So, Philo said he was listening to Hank, and they're talking about Yankee being racist. You talking about the, are you talking about Hank tonight, or are you talking about the one that Yankee did with Mac and them, Philo? They were dropping the N-word and all kind of crazy stuff on that one. I was like, oh, YouTube's going to freak out. Stop. Kalashnikov's out there asking about the NK Helical Mag AK. That's one Kalashnikov I have no clue about, buddy. I have to go look at it, to be honest. You'll find it really quickly. I'm not an AK guy. Not an AK guy. I prefer modular capability. What is this North Korean Helical AK magazines? What? Yeah. Go look. Oh, wow. That's interesting. I wonder how well that works. And I know that that would also be heavy. Wow. That's crazy. I wonder if I can screen share that. Let's do that. Let's screen share that. Check this out. This is what Kalashnikov's talking about, I'm guessing here. I just don't know how reliable that thing's going to be. And I mean, the weight looks like it would just... it would just be not worth it. It's interesting. I will give it that. All right, stop sharing. Get out of here. Get out of here. There we go. RL says he calls rigging. Man, if anybody was rigging RL, it was you on your chat the other night. So I should have won that one. You know better than that. You know I should have won. What we got? Mark Boy says, holy hoop-a-cheep. Look at that thing. Yeah, I know, right? I don't know why you would. Yeah, Jeffrey says calico and steroids. A little bit. Laskin said, what's going to happen to the Remington 700 when they go bankrupt? Well, the thing is, companies nowadays don't go bankrupt. They just don't. They get bought out. They get acquired by somebody else. Whatever. A different financing company takes over for them. That sort of thing. And Rappo says, look, talks to Bison. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he was saying. PP19. Yep, that is what Kalashnikov was talking about. But yeah, they'll, you know, any company that gets in, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you was to start a business and you was to have to file bankruptcy, it'd be pretty much be over, right? But when you're talking about, you know, multi hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever in, you know, revenue and all this other stuff in a business, nah, they just get acquired and or broken up or whatever. So 700's been around a long time. You know, same goes for the 870 and oh heck, what, 1100's, the 1100 same way. So yeah, Tardot says big companies don't go bankrupt. They take government loans and never pay them back. It's economics. Yeah, I doubt very seriously that Remington, which is under the financial control, basically Freedom Group, which is under the financial control of Cerebras, is going to get money from the government. But fun fact, and I don't know if anybody knows this or not, there was some myths going around, and I say it was myths. It wasn't really myths. When Freedom Group had acquired all those companies, Freedom Group being asset management, I guess, or something. Got to remember, got to look at the hierarchy of things. You have companies and then you have financiers, you know, over said companies and that sort of thing. But you had basically, you know, Remington, Marlin, whatever, and then Freedom Group, and then above that, Cerberus. And they were saying, well, George Soros is, over Cerberus, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, George Soros has some investment in Cerberus, but I mean, Soros has, you know, what, billions of dollars. So, I mean, find something he doesn't have, you know what I'm saying, money into. So, I mean, they were wanting to make this big, huge deal. He didn't hold really enough for it to be an issue. But anyway, I was looking into that. And the head of that Cerberus or whatever was at the time, this was back when I was looking into it. I don't know if it's still true or not, but Dan Quayle was actually over that. I was like, wow, it's a name I haven't heard in years. You don't hear much about Dan Quayle anymore. So, what are we talking about? Mics out there and some other stuff. Ralph over on Gun Channels. He's the Soros things money like poo. You know, and that's the thing, when you get into these rich guys, it's not just on the left with Soros, but I mean, you look on the right or you look overseas with, you know, these sheiks and stuff that have money. And it's the same thing. I mean, at some point you have all of this money. Well, what do? You hire people to manage your money, right? Accountants or people that invest it into different things for you and that sort of thing. And you know, basically you're just signing papers at that point, you know? So, you know, it comes out and it goes, well, you know, sometimes it's a bad thing. And you hear about so-and-so has money tied up in this company and, oh, it's a big scandal. It's a bad thing. And then sometimes you hear so-and-so has money and they portray it in a good light that, oh, well, so-and-so's invested. And odds are the guy that has that money, he doesn't have a clue. He's invested into that. That's just somebody else handles that for him. You know, at the end of the day, he says, hey, did I make a profit or, you know, a loss? You know, what is RL says, Dan Quayle moonlights on YouTube and gun channels as potatoes and lead. That's possible. It's very possible. Alaskan Ballistics is asking, is there a better option for mags and a Ruger American long action? Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. And I do agree that I like the Ruger Americans. I own a couple. But the mag design does leave a little bit to be desired. So, just a quick look, and I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah, nothing that surely comes to mind. Not without going aftermarket on it anyway. Those Americans, it's been slow to do everything. That's actually one of my more popular videos. It's been, and one of the oldest that's been on the channel was stock modification for Ruger Americans. And the what we got here? The it was a long time after those suckers came out before there was any stock options. So Stockies or Boyds or Magpul or you name it. It was making anything. Kleshnikov says, today he was looking into the Polish PPS-41 on the center fire system. Not a bad price, $529 free shipping. That's good. That's not bad. Make sure I'm thinking right on the... That's the PPS, because I get the... There's a PPS and there's the PPSH, right? Yeah, there's the PPS and then the PPSH. Yeah, that's not bad. PPS 41s.
Yeah.
Now, are they, what configuration was that, Kalishnikov? What do you say out there? On the center fire systems? PPS 41. Let's look that up. Center fire systems. They were selling those with that weird, yeah. That's going to be the one with the flip out stock. See, I just can't hardly get on board with a stock that fold over stock. Can't hardly get on board with that. It's just weird. Oh, heck, he says typoed 43. Well, thanks a lot, Kalishnikov. Here I am looking at the wrong one. PPS 43, he said. Center fire system. Basically the same thing. Yeah, it's going to have the flip over. So there's going to be a flip over stock or the pistol, I guess. And they welded the stock over. One of the two. Because I've seen that where they welded or they pin and welded the, you can't flip the stock out on it. Just the barrel short. I don't know. I've looked at them. I've never considered getting one because I like the NFA versions so much. You know what I mean? Sometimes you mess with the classic like that. Yeah, John Z says, not full auto PPS. Yeah, it's like, not that I would want a full auto, but they just look a lot cooler to me. Oh, it's Zippy here. Zippy said he wished they still made the 10/22 and 22 mag. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of, and the 17 HMR is the same way. There's not a lot of, and hasn't historically been a lot of, 22 mag auto loaders out there. Same way with the 17 HMRs. But, you know, 17 HMR is a similar, I guess you could say, cartridge. What, a neck down, essentially, 22 mag. I know that my son actually has fired 17 HMR. Did he? Yeah, 17 HMR in a 22 mag. Did it by accident, and he got in trouble after he did it. But it did fire. Didn't cause any issues. I'm trying to remember the first. What was the first 22 mag semi-auto? Anybody know? Because I'm trying to think, do I have that? Is that bad that I'm sitting here thinking, hey, there's a... Do I have that firearm or not? I can't remember. The very first one. It's been years ago. And it was like an offbeat. It wasn't a major company. Yeah, I don't see it. Dadnabbit. Yeah, I don't remember. I'm not going to take up a whole bunch of time trying to find it either. I know it's an old one. Oh, well. Such is life. Get up here. So we had another one, too. How about Ford and Ammo? Morpheus says, thoughts on a 22 TCM. 22 TCM's cool. I've actually shot the 22 TCM in a rifle and a pistol both. It is a really neat. It's a really neat little round. You know, I kind of think it's a niche round. I just don't really, I don't know, maybe for shorter range varmint or something, maybe. It has a place, but, you know, it gets 1,000 points for cool factor, without a doubt. And it's a very sweet shooting round in both platforms, in rifle or pistol. And it's one of those that you can use across both. So, you know, when you're talking about your pistol caliber carbines, you know, for example, you know, that is an option. I don't think that you're going to, you know, by now it's what? It's a few years old, right? It's at least 3 or 4 years old, at least. And I just don't, it hasn't caught on that much. And I just don't really foresee it catching on a whole lot more. John D says HMR are cheap or affordable or overpriced. Seventeen HMR for a while has been easier to get than 22 Magnum, and typically it's a little cheaper when you find it, at least around here. Now, other parts of the country, that may be a crapshoot. I mean, who knows? G Web said the Grendel in 90. We're talking about rifles, G Webs. Said we're the first 22 mag semi-autos. That's true. Those are pistols, and that is true. We're talking rifles. And I can't remember. I'd have to go through my safe and all of the room and all of that and see if. Pretty sure I've got one of those, but I can't remember what it is. RL's asking, did we ever check out the new 44 auto mag? I did not. I don't know if one of the other guys did. RL says, yeah, the pistol was the Grendel. Yes, yes, yes. Grendel and AMT, but that's pistols. We were talking rifles because we were talking about the 10/22. So I'll get on and look it up. I'll try to look some more here in a second and figure it out. I'm going to kick myself when I think of it. Morpheus says the Rock Island 22 TCM 1911 is sweet, holds 17, and comes with a 9mm barrel. Yes, yes, that's basically what it is. It's a 9 neck down to a 22. For those that don't know, 22 TCM is a 9 neck down to a 22. Yeah, H&R. There you go. Yep. Man, I do have one of those then, if it's the H&R. Trying to remember the model, though. That's what I'm trying to remember. Is it like this? It's not the Sahara. There's like a Sahara, there was an Apache, and there was some type of a model on that. Yeah, it's just model 700, that's what G-Web says. Yeah, may have been, but yeah, you're right, it's H&R. Mad Sexy says, is my hat for sale? I don't know, for the right price, anything's for sale. Roll call says that Remington's coming out with a 1911 that's double stack. You know, I'm not a big 1911 guy. So if you're out there and you're a big 1911 guy, my question to you is, Do you like a double stack 1911? Because I would think if you're a big 1911 guy, I would think you would be kind of against the whole double stack 1911 idea. Because, I mean, that sort of changes the original design up a little bit, doesn't it? Chelsma said, why does 40 suck so bad? Remington is bankrupt. There you go. Mad Stacy says, sent you 10 bucks. Cost a lot more than 10 bucks, man. This thing costs forever. Ghost, man. You know, why would you want this? It's all ripped and torn and it's horrible. Ghost let his dog play with it for a week before he mailed it to me or something. Gixxer says negative on the double stack. John Z says, if you have a 1911 and don't need it, he's accepting it now. So Gixxer's throwing out the 40 caliber hate. He says 40 short and weak. I tend to agree with that. I don't own a 40 any longer. I had, for the longest, I've had like one 40 in the entire collection. For quite some time, I had a, John is double texting. Yeah, John is double texting, Jeep, but I mean, I see you over here. I'm paying attention to the gun channel side. Thank you. But for the longest time, I had a Kel-Tec Sub 2000 in 40. I say for the longest time, for quite a few years. And I found a gentleman that had a 9mm. Well, I had won mine and he had won his. Okay. And I had 9mm Glock and he had 40 caliber Glock. And so once we kind of figured that out, we were like, hey, do you want to swap? So I was able to get rid of that. And then a few years later, I come into a police trade-in Glock 22, which I absolutely hate, mostly because it's 40 caliber. And I kept it for years and years. And then finally, I have got a buddy that conned me out of it. I don't like to sell anything. But at the time, I can't remember what was going on. But that may have been back Tulsa trip last year even or something. But anyway, something was going on and I was like, I could really use the money more than that. And he offered me a really fair price for it and with the ammo and some of the other stuff. Thankfully I have 10mm. So all of my reloading stuff, that's one of the things when you get into a, see you later, Mad Sexy. He said he's got to leave. That's one of the things when you get into getting certain calibers and then you have all the reloading stuff, components and equipment and that sort of stuff. But the 40 and the 10 millimeter, no, 40 and the 10 millimeter utilize the set for brass, use everything else is the same. So, he agreed to buy my brass. He agreed to buy the ammo I had and, factory ammo anyway. And the pistol and buy it at a reasonable price. So he got it and I'm 43. Thank goodness. So if you like a 40, go for it. But, Carr said he has a 40, but usually only shoot it with 9mm 22 conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I know some people. Speaking about the conversions, John's explaining himself over there for double texting all the G's comments. Love it. You know, one of the things on the Glocks is I got the Glock 20 right years ago, and I didn't really care for Glocks then. And the Glock 20 really in that 10mm because I like the 10mm. So it really changed my perception and everything on a Glock. And a guy told me, he's like, oh yeah, you can shoot 40s out of that. And that never made any sense to me. And so I got to looking, and there's multiple guys around here that I know have shot thousands of rounds of 40 through their Glock 20. And I'm talking no conversion barrel, nothing. Just put 40s in it and go. And, will it work? Yeah, it'll work. But you're pretty much relying really, really heavily on that extractor, at that point, because it's not able to hit space on the case mouth. Obviously, if you're running a 40 in a 10 millimeter chamber. Kixer says, where's all the dart throwers in here? I don't know if that's a reference to Ghost's thing or not. Rattle says, every time there's an ammo shortage, he's glad he has some 40s. If he ever starts reloading, maybe he'll change his mind. It's easy enough to get into. I think we're going to see a bit of a surge in the reloading thing, what with the California ammunition stuff going on. So, I think we will see some stuff there. What do we got here? John says, John said he's doing some paperwork. Yeah, there's a notification for Never Enough Ammo. Who is up next with the Guns and Geeks podcast, by the way? Hey, there is User. He made it in. It's his hot dog. He made it. He did make it. This is one of the shows that User actually asked for. So, good job, User, by making it in. They were talking about darts and stuff and all of that. Guitar man out there says, I want to get into reloading so bad, but he doesn't have the bucks. Well, you know, reloading is one of them things that you definitely have to, you can't get into it to save money. Can you save money? Yes, you can save money. Depending on what you load. Normally you end up shooting more and it offsets anyway. So, you have to be able to justify it. And in the end, it just needs to be a hobby, honestly. But yeah, you can get into especially reloading for pistol, fairly reasonable. And then if you buy the right stuff, you can move into rifle from there at a lot less money than it would cost you, starting from scratch. Mohawk boy saying, really, it hits bases at the neck. I didn't say neck. I said case mouth. How the heck doesn't it wreck the chamber? It hits bases off of the case mouth. At the bolt and all still locks up, man. I don't know what you're asking there. It means that's where the, what is it? It's the chamber's unsupported, I guess, basically, with it head spacing there instead of back at the neck, that's unsupported. The chamber is unsupported. It's why they call it an unsupported chamber. Carr says he has all the gear to start reloading 223 till trying to figure the whole thing out. Well, just get with myself, get with Mohawk boy, get with Squib if he's ever owned, get with Travis P11. There's several folks out there. User says, found innovative arms can like I had suggested, Local Lever even has demo suite. Yeah, if you guys aren't familiar with Innovative Arms, Phil over there, excellent guy and good name for the company. I mean, there he's pretty innovative. He's pretty good with machining and stuff. So, yeah, check out some of the Innovative Arms stuff. I've hunted with multiples of those. I think Tack is in the house. He's a zero interest in reloading. I'd rather shoot more. Yeah, kind of depends. I kind of like to geek out on that stuff sometimes, especially with R&D, doing R&D stuff. Randall says he has suggestions saved. Prices go up. He'd start. Thinks he would start with his hunting rifle calibers. Yeah, especially your large calibers. That's where you're going to save money. 300 Weatherby for me and 50 BMG are where I save money. You know, considerable money. 458 SOCOM, I save considerable money. Because I cast 4570, I save considerable money. I think somebody was up here. I think I missed one. I thought I missed something about the California thing, but maybe not. Maybe not. Guitar Man says I sent him a list. Yeah, I've got that list, Guitar Man, in a blog post now. I've been giving that, you know that. I've been giving that list out for years. I just update and modify and tweak it every now and then. Tardot says he thinks there'd be some savings with 300 Win Mag. There would be, definitely. You know, the thing about 300 Win Mag, man, you know, as long as you save, you know, you're buying factory ammo now, as long as you save your brass, right? You've got your brass. It's a 308 projectile, man. They're a dime a dozen. They're all over the place. So it's nothing special. You know, it's the stupid brass on 300 Win Mag. You're paying all that money just simply for brass, honestly. I think they're still talking about darts out there a little bit. Tardot says he's been watching Amazon for reloading gear. Man, shop, I'm telling you, shop. Grafs and Sons is a good one. I'm not an affiliate for them, sadly. But Grafs and Sons, Natchez, which I am an affiliate for Natchez. Natchez, Mid-South, not an affiliate for Mid-South either. Midway, Brownells, you know, all of those at times put certain reloading components, be it brands or their presses or their powder throwers or their dies or something, you know, at some point or another, they do them on sale. So, you know, definitely, you know, look around when you get a chance and, you know, just price shop, just shop it around. And don't be afraid to get on eBay or something either and look at used stuff, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that get into reloading and, you know, they buy a big, huge bunch of stuff and then they decide, you know, they don't have the time or they don't want to invest the time or whatever. And then sometimes, you know, I hate to say it, but that's where, you know, a literal truckload that I bought for like $300 came from was a guy died. Went out and a guy was advertising a large reloading setup or something, you know. So I go up there and take a look at it, and it literally is like one quarter of his 2-car garage was full of stuff. And, you know, it was one of them things. I didn't even make him an offer because I told him, he's like, well, make me an offer. And I'm like, dude, man, I don't have the money. And he's like, man, this belonged to my brother-in-law. He lived in California and he got sick and he moved out here to be closer to his sister, you know, the guy's wife. And he's like, he passed away. He said, now my wife passed away last, you know, summer or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, I really need it out of here. And you sound, you know, you look like you're really interested in the stuff and you'll use it and all of that. And, you know, I know my brother-in-law, he really loved to reload and I'd really like for it to go to somebody that reloads. And I'm like, well, I said, you tell me what you'll be comfortable with. And he says, well, he said, can you do $300? So I had to go back into town, but I scrounged up $300 for sure. And I mean, it was literally, It was probably $4,000 worth of reloading stuff. I mean, it was sad. I didn't know that at the time. I hadn't been in reloading. I hadn't been into the reloading. I had done reloading. I hadn't been in all the gear, but for maybe a year or two. So I didn't know that. And over the years, I have slowly sold off some of that stuff because a lot of it I didn't use. It just sat around. And in researching, I'd go, well, that box of stuff, I hadn't really ever used it, don't intend on it. So let me look up and see what it's worth, you know. And it's always blown my mind at the, you know, amount of some of that money. Midnight says, yeah, yard sales, estate sales. Cycle Kemp says, Lucky Charms ammo, they're magically consistent. You know, that would be cool if I ever got into that. But I do, we're doing some R&D stuff here and there. Just, I don't know, getting into the actual headache of manufacturing is kind of a pain because they want, oh, heck, what is it? What is it? The excise or whatever, the import tax and all that mess you got to pay nowadays. I can't think of the name of it now. Can't think of the acronym. There's an acronym for it. Yeah, I can't get it. But anyway, you basically pay the Department of State every year a fee. And it's a little pricey. It's a couple of grand to $3,000, I believe, for that. Nah, it's not VAT tax, Cycle Camp. It's, dang it. Okay, hang on. You'll look this up real quick. Well, said I could. Maybe not. Oh, ITAR. 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 That's what it is. Which is International Trade. What is it? International. Dang it. Yeah, International Traffic in Arms Regulations. ITAR, ITAR tax. So, yeah, it's 20, like I said, 20 something, 2,500, 2,200. I don't remember. You'd have to sell a lot of ammo to cover that kind of money. They're all guessing it. Andrew got it, though. He said ITAR. Trauma Jock, what's up, buddy? He said, Rogals is unconstitutional. Well, you know, here's something that's weird. I was looking into that. And this is where I've said multiple times. The ATF, Never Enough Ammo, has went live 15 minutes early. Why does he do that? Oh, well, I'm not stopping. So anyway, I've said multiple times talking about reloading mostly, but going into the gun stuff, I'm like, you know, don't be afraid if you see some gray area somewhere. Don't be afraid to ride into the ATF for an opinion on something. You know, worst case, they write back and tell you no, right? But, or give you an opinion that basically shuts you down. But that's one of them things where you could be holding an opinion later that sets you apart from everybody else in the country. Everybody else just has an understanding that, you know, you're not supposed to do that or that that's against regulation. And, you know, you could have a letter that says otherwise. And, you know, they can't come down on you. They have to, you know, tell you to cease and desist first. And then after that, if you don't, you're in trouble. So, you know, that's one of the things with ITAR and some other stuff. And anyway, some things that I was looking into are whether or not ITAR applies, I should say. There's some gray area there. And then with another thing I was looking into was shotgun ammunition. And according to what I read in all the regulations and on all the books, shotgun ammunition is regulated by the Department of Commerce. not the Department of State. Talking about transport and that sort of stuff. Importation, transport, that sort of thing. Yeah, Department of Commerce. And I found that was kind of interesting. User out there says, been looking at a Browning Buckmark red dot for 2245. We've used the Browning Bucknarts in the past. I will be honest with you. That Browning Buckmark red dot is really no different, in my opinion, than the Barska or the Tasco or the any other name they want to slap on the side of it. They're all made in some Asian country over there, and they pretty much brand them however and let them go. But just like Cycle says, he's had really good luck with the Tasco, pretty much the exact same site. And we've had good luck too. Now, if you get down and you really get serious, you know, you want to start looking into something else. That's when you want to start looking into something like a, oh, hey, what am I thinking? Like a Viper or a Venom or a, it would be a Venom, I guess, wouldn't it? A Venom or a, what's the, oh, heck, the Burris. Oh, heck, somebody... Somebody can drop that one real quick. What is it? Fastfire. There you go. Nobody mentioned it, but I remembered it. Like the Burris Fastfire or even an RMR or something like that. If you don't want to go that crazy, you've also got Ultra Dot, which the Ultra Dots are a little bulky, but Ultra Dot, yeah, Randall says Fastfire, yeah. We run Sightmark Pro Series. Sight marks now, which are the smaller one, look like the Burris Fastfire, and the and Fastfires is pretty much what I run on mine now. The I have always wanted an Ultra Dot. A lot of the competition guys run Ultra Dots, or you know, the Match Dot Ultra Dot, or is it Ultra Dot Match Dot? Maybe it's Ultra Dots, the company, Match Dot is the model. And they're awesome, they're a little bigger. Which, of course, they're going to be a little heavier and that sort of thing. So, but user says he's glad he can replay later. That's right. Back to roll call's unconstitutional thing. Yeah, I don't get, you know, what I don't get is I don't get where the Department of State has any type of dog in the fight. You know, that's, you know, we read that off. I mean, that's international trafficking or whatever. If you're selling within the U.S., and that's a gray area that I was talking about, if you're selling within the U.S., then what difference does it make? You know, if you're not bringing in, if you're not bringing in parts from another country, if you're not shipping parts to another country or product back and forth, if it's not coming in or leaving the United States in any way, shape, form, or fashion at any point through the manufacturing process, then yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Sean says the State Department is all UN crap. Yeah, pretty much. But like I said, that's where there's some gray area there. And, you know, if you want to get into it and if you, you know, whatever, you know, utilize that option of securing an opinion and really look up and know how all that works. And, you know, then turn around and know how your business is going to work as well. And, yeah, I don't know, send in for an ATF opinion. Might surprise you. Just saying. Guitar Man says, what do I think about the guy that sold the reloads to the Vegas shooter? You know, that's interesting. I think that he got, you know, I don't have a problem. He was, as far as I know, he was running a legitimate business to an extent. And I say to an extent because Guitar Man says he doesn't think he should have been in trouble other than like tax evading. Tax evading, and then he was caught with some armor piercing ammunition as well, which you can't be manufacturing and selling. And I don't know if that was a state issue or a federal beef on that, to be honest. But the armor piercing stuff, I don't think he sold the Vegas Shooter the armor piercing stuff. I think they found out that that's where some of the ammunition come from. And then they, when they followed up, that's when he started to get in trouble. He really didn't get in trouble for selling the guy anything. He got in trouble for everything they found out. Had he been doing things above board, you know, would have been fine, I think. But again, sometimes they're just out to hang whoever they can hang for something, right? So, Sean says, that's where they're going to be coming at us next. The small arms treaty is up for enforcement this year. I don't know that we're going to get any treaty stuff, and the way treaties work and all of that, or I don't know. All that's really weird. Trauma Jock says, remember the KTY ammo? I think that's what it's called. No, I don't. KTY ammo. Really? I see the CTD ammo. That's weird. And the DTR ammo. I don't know about that. He says Teflon coated, the armor superior. Okay. The Teflon coated, yeah, familiar with that. The KTY, not so much. So and armor piercing is one of them things that there's some gray area there too, just so you know, especially for reloaders. There's some gray area there. You can get away with some of that. Yeah, it's like Scott says, it's not illegal to possess AP rounds. Yeah, it's like an importation issue and a manufacturing issue. But see, the thing is, if you're loading for yourself, that's not manufacturing. There's a difference. It's like taking an 80%, whatever it might be, whether it's one of those SIG things or a Glock or an AR or whatever. And, you know, that's for use. That's not manufacturing. So, you know, same type deal there. I guess cars out there liking Guitar Man's name. Rich White says it's the stuff they parodied in Lethal Weapon 3. Let's see. Scroll up through here. I think we're pretty caught up. I don't think I missed anybody's stuff for the most part. I don't know how we got all off onto the necessarily into the reloading thing, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, let me think. Who can I? I want to shout out somebody on. So I'm going to Gun Channels Blitz tonight. I think I'm going to do John Z. So that's going to be the John Z project. So let's do the Gun Channels Blitz for the John Z project. And I'll put that over on some channels as well. So jump over there on John Z's channel. Check out what he has over there. I don't think he has a whole lot, but he's got a few things. He says, what the heck? And if like any of the stuff over there, am I one letter off? Did I not spell it right? Gun Channels Blitz. Okay, well, whatever. Either way. He's talking about the acronym, the KTW. That's what he's talking about. Okay. Yeah, jump over there on, let's see. User says, you got a link? I can get a link. Hang on. No, because I never know really who I'm going to, I never really know who I'm going to blitz until I do it. Well, I'll get a link, assuming the link will even work. Because remember, over on the YouTube side, the link may work and it may not work. But here's a link. So, Cycle Kemp says he can't post one. He's not a mod. I think Cycle Kemp, you're supposed to be a mod. I'll have to go look. I was just in my control panel thing today, and I could have sworn it said Cycle Kemp there. So, but I'm looking at you, and you don't got no wrench. So, I don't know what's going on there. But I could have swore you did. He says, not me. Have you ever had a wrench? If not, there's somebody else that's got a similar name. And then I'm just going insane, which is entirely possible. So yeah, there's my Gun Channels Blitz. And then what else can we do? And we talked about earlier the Patreon lawn chair pop. So I'll drop my Patreon link. How's that sound? And one of the reasons I'm gonna do this is because I had the way that it works is every month patrons vote on what we do a lawn chair pop with, and we do that on the second Monday of every month, and it's a private chat where we do it. And then after we get done with that chat, then I turn around and I make the previous month public. So I did that this month, and there was like all kinds of comments that were like, YouTube screwed up, I just got the notification. Like, No, it's okay. It's all good. This is actually, it was set to private. It's been private for a month. So it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, so if you want to get in on cool stuff like that and the perks and the giveaways and all the other stuff, then there it is. Check that out. We are, I think we're going to bail. Like I said, Matt's been on over at NEA for It's Never Enough Ammo for, Lord, about 15 minutes now, which is weird. He was early last week. I'm not sure. I guess maybe he's thinking he needs more time because the top five and top 10 list take so long nowadays. But so we're going to hop over there probably and check things out. I invite you to do that too. I think pretty much everybody here knows where to go. Trauma Jock says we're going to be late. I don't think we'll miss a whole lot. You know, the geek chat's always first. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for hanging out. Obviously, we'll be back Wednesday at 8 Eastern, Thursday at 11 Eastern, Friday at 10 Eastern on Friday. So, got a few things that are planned for this week, trying to get things back to normal. Hasn't been a lot of produced content the last week or so. Was getting ready for that rifle match and some other things going on. So hopefully we can, I can get my schedule right and get things produced and out and get everything done that I need to do. We're going to head over there at NEA. We're going to call this one. It was fun. You guys kept the chat rolling pretty much for the entire hour. So congratulations. Great job. And we'll see you guys hopefully Wednesday evening. Bye.